free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here across from Michael Goudeau, and we're on the free FM. And sometimes we take phone calls. I think today's going to be one of those days because I have stuff I'm perplexed about, you know. And then when I have stuff I'm perplexed about, I go to the people of the United States of America. And by people of the United States of America, I mean the people who listen to this show, because that's the only subset that really matters. I believe this is a self-selected group that I like to talk with. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. 866-570-PEN. And penradio@gmail.com is where you can send a Gmail. And penradio.com. And I'm sitting here with Michael Goudeau. Have I covered everything?
I think you have.
So, yeah. And my MySpace has gone just bug nutty. I'm over 600 people, and I get written letters there. You know, it's a secret MySpace. It does not have my name on anywhere, but everything else is true. So people have been finding it like crazy. And I'm trying not to have it passed around, but people really find it, because it's stunningly easy. And I do get messages there. I read them, but I don't answer them all, because if you want to really write a letter that will get read, for sure, it's penradio@gmail.com. I want to talk about this drunk driving thing. Highway Safety Agency unveils new campaign against drunken driving. I guess the right term is drunken driving, right? It's not drunk driving?
Yes.
It's like quote and quotation or something? I don't know. In a major shift in highway safety strategy, the federal government is turning its focus from seatbelts to alcohol. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, I'm reading from the New York Times, announced Wednesday it had signed up thousands of law enforcement agencies across the country to begin a campaign to crack down on drunken drivers, through Labor Day. It'll also spend $11 million on television advertisements stressing the threat of being arrested for driving under the influence. So they're not talking about the moral issue of driving under the influence, but the threat of being arrested. Do those ads work ever, or is that just flushing money down a rat hole? I mean, I really think that, I guess they show one still of it, right? And it's got a young guy, because the age they're going for. Drunk driving is the sport of, I think, like 18 to 25-year-old men or something. I don't know what the ages are, but it's something like that.
Comes back into popularity later on in life also.
And federal statistics show the progress against drunken driving has slowed. This is one of those cheating statistics where drunk driving is down lower than it's ever been, but it isn't being brought down as much as it was before. So as you approach zero, it gets harder and harder to do that. And the ads are like this young guy, the guy they're going for, in a huge vat of beer and vodka with like an olive and stuff like that. And he's in this vat, and they were about me. I just think, the DARE program, and I should say in terms of full disclosure that we were honored by DARE.
Drug Abuse Resistance Education.
Yeah, we were honored by DARE. We gave them some money, and we also spoke in front of some kids, which was really...
I have some bad news.
Yeah?
Yeah. A 10-year study at the University of Kentucky found the program had no effect on students.
Right. But they gave us donuts.
Oh, well.
And
you didn't say that.
Yeah, they gave us donuts. I really wanted... It's one of those things where you really think this is important. Let's help kids stay off drugs any way we can. And I should also say, in terms of full disclosure, that... I've never had a drink of alcohol or drug in my life. I don't expect people to just know that. It's not one of the most important facts in American history. Oh, someone wrote in, incidentally, from the show yesterday. You told me this before we went on. And, more people can name the Three Stooges and they can name the three branches of government. Someone wrote in, one of our brilliant listeners wrote it and said, is there a difference? But on that same subject, and it says DARE has long dismissed criticism of its approach as flawed or the work of groups that favor decriminalization of drug use, but the body of research has grown to the point that the organization could no longer ignore it. In the past 2 months alone, both the U.S. Surgeon General and the National Academy of Sciences have issued reports saying that DARE's approach is ineffective, and several cities, most recently Salt Lake City, have discontinued the program. I don't know. It's also when they have those ads. 866-570-PEN, 7366. You want to call up and enlighten me about this, 866-570-PEN. 7366penradio@gmail.com. I don't know who those ads are. There are billboards that say stop gang violence, and there are billboards that say stop domestic violence. And they have, like, pictures of, you know, beaten women and stuff. And the idea, I guess, is that you're driving home planning on beating your wife,
yeah,
and you see a billboard that says stop domestic violence, and you go, you know, I was going to beat her, but there's that billboard. And that's, I mean, there's this idea, of course, advertising must work. Advertising must work, or the free market would eliminate it. You know, TV ads for products. I mean, Lexus is not going to pay for ads unless it helps people buy Lexus and you know, all the stuff, diet stuff, and all that. They must be doing it. But does it work when the government has ad agencies do stuff to change behavior? And also, would somebody tell me, 866-570-PEN, 7366, why it's the government's job to control behavior? The government has the job of police. If you're caught drunk driving, then you are arrested and there's proper punishment. The government does not have the job to educate, to tell people to stop drinking. We should not have programs that say murder is wrong. We should not spend our money telling people what this stuff is. It should be no prior restraint and no social engineering. Just let people do what they want. We agree on certain rules. If they break them, they're busted. It's as easy as that. I'm also feeling very guilty about the JonBenet Ramsey thing. Because JonBenet, I'm a little drunk this morning. JonBenet Ramsey. Because I didn't follow the case at all. I didn't care at all about the case. I didn't care at all about OJ. I didn't care at all about the Ramsey case. Not in the least. But still, I'm part of this culture, much to the culture's chagrin. And so it just kind of seeped in. And there's this guy, you know, who confessed, as everybody knows, John Mark Carr. He's in custody in Bangkok, Thailand, which seems to be a mecca for child molesters. Although mecca may be mecca for child molesters, for all I know. But Thailand seems to be. And he has confessed. He says he killed her. He loved her, but she died accidentally at his hand. And so all this kind of feeling, and it was on South Park and everything, you know, that the parents did it, obviously, or someone in the family did it and the parents were covering. All that stuff comes flooding back to me, and I go, I just kind of accepted that someone in the family did it, and now it turns out they didn't. Of course, the worst thing in the world has happened to them, so everybody yes. thinking they killed their kid, I don't think can make it any worse, you know. It's like, you know, the pain is so great, you can't get worse pain, can you?
I don't know. Being accused of it might be worse.
But I mean, the needle is pinned.
No, I understand that.
Your life is ruined. You know, every second that you are awake and all the time you're asleep, you're tortured and miserable. So it probably we didn't do them any more damage. It's kind of like a person's falling off a cliff and you spit on them on the way down. You know, but still, I felt a little bit guilty about that that whole thing. 866-570-PEN 7366. And we got some phone calls here, and let's talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
It's effective.
Chris, what's up?
Sorry, hit the wrong one. There we go. Hey,
guys.
Hi, Chris. What's up?
I think the DAMP program's fantastic. I live out of Annapolis, Maryland, and our DAMP program in our elementary schools was the budget was flushed 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and the program that my son went through when he was in elementary school was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, he was putting some of his toys away down the basement. Now I said he's 15. And he pulled out a lot of his DARE stuff. And he said, hey, Dad, look, this is my journal from the DARE program. He literally wrote a journal about drugs and alcohol. And he goes, you know, I didn't know how much drugs and alcohol affected people's life until I got older. He goes, I'm glad I went through that program.
Well,
and now they're just starting to get the program back on its feet. But they need other people to donate money to, because now the state has funded that money for something else.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. There's no doubt about it. And as I told you, Chris, as I said, we gave money to them, and we also appeared and spoke at a program to a lot of the kids, and it was just such a great feeling, and the kids seemed really receptive, and it seemed wonderful. I mean, all my personal perception of it is very similar to yours. I just really, really dig it. But the problem is there's these reports coming out that say 10 years later, which is about where your kid's at, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. that 10 years later they can't find a statistical difference.
Yeah,
and I'm always worried when my personal experience goes against some study that seems to have been done fairly well. So that's what's bugging me.
There are a couple of them. There's a 10-year study at the University of Kentucky, but there's also a 6-year study at the University of Illinois found that the program's effects were worn off by senior year of high school. And, in fact, it detected some increase in drug use by suburban high schoolers who had taken the program.
Yes.
So he's in high school now, and he's far from drugs and alcohol. And
well, I'm so glad.
Happy for that.
Is it possible that the reason he's so far from drugs and alcohol has more to do with your parenting than with a government program?
I'd say that's 100%.
Yeah.
That's
well, see, correct. that's what I'm wondering about. I mean, the only thing we really care about those parents that are able to handle this on their own. And I don't mean to imply that every kid that gets in trouble with drugs, it's the parents' fault. There was something that could be done. I think that bad things do happen to people, and I don't want to act like everybody's culpable for every bad thing that happens around them. But there are many, many studies that show. I mean, my mom and dad never drank, never did drugs, never even talked about it. My whole family has been drug free, and it's really hard for me to ignore the fact that that having no drugs or alcohol in my life or around me had something to do with the kind of eccentric decisions I made to never even have a beer. But the question we're really talking about is not what happens when a parent that's on top of it, like yourself, is supported by a program in the schools. But we're trying to think if that program really is worth government money, or even if it's the government's job to alter the behavior of its citizens. Do you think it is?
Well, I think the money would be more beneficial with this program rather than, like you said, a 2-minute commercial having a guy sitting in a vat of alcohol, you know, and drowning. Most people that are at that state need more help than that, and it's not going to be a TV commercial that's going to bring them out of it during Labor Day.
We certainly agree completely. The only question I would ask is I don't believe that our two choices, that we only have two choices, and that is spend money doing TV commercials or spend money on the DARE program.
Oh, I agree.
It's also possible that money could go back into people's pockets, and maybe that would make them be able to work a little less, and maybe they'd spend more time with their kids. Of course, that's pie in the sky. That's a specious argument. But, I mean, in theory, you could talk about that.
Right.
So thanks a lot for calling, Chris.
Have a great afternoon.
Congrats with your kids. Congrats with the kid he's doing twice. Let's talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Penn. How are you?
I've never been better, boss. How are you?
Good, good. And tell Mike thanks for hanging up on me earlier.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. You know, so there was no one on the last line, and then you called it like the same second he said to go to the last line.
Just so you know, Goudeau, juggling skills are manual and not digital. So okay. Goudeau has very good hand-eye with the whole hand. When it comes to individual digits, he is a klutz. So keep that in mind. There was no malice whatsoever.
All right.
It was incompetence. Is that correct, Goudeau?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, then.
So I apologize for my partner's incompetence. Is that clear?
Yeah, thank you.
A little too clear.
Go on, please.
I have a son that's in middle school who went through 2 years of the DARE program, and I think that it's only helped him quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Meaning that he's come home and asked questions, and he said it was very insightful and very educating and well aware of what can happen to him if he decides to drink and or take drugs.
Now, did you feel like the information they were giving him was accurate, or was that, you know, scare techniques? Because I went, you know, I graduated from high school in 73, which was the peak of rural drug use in the United States. It seemed like in my class, everybody was on acid. Everybody was smoking dope. Everybody was drunk. And I really mean by everybody, of course that's hyperbole, but I mean in a class of 30, I bet 10 kids were somehow altered in any given class. And so my feeling about drugs and alcohol is way out of whack. I consider it to be much more dangerous than it actually is. So if you got your information from me about drugs, you'd be wrong. And yet I have really close friends who have been involved in drugs very heavily earlier in their lives and seem to have come through it fine and had a great time. And I have friends now that that drink on occasion and have a great time with it. So did you feel like the D.A.R.E. program gave them accurate information or Penn Jillette-style information?
No, accurate information.
Really?
Yes, but I can also say, though, is that talking to other parents, they believe that some of the information is way out of bounds, meaning that they teach the kids too much, and that's what might excite them about drinking or
doing drugs. How to make a bong?
And exactly. No, not that far, but you know, some of the particular drugs and what it does to your system and things like that.
What I always feel is the warnings they do. I mean, I remember, and this is how old I am. I remember when CNN, Time, and Newsweek first had their big stories on crack. And, you know, crack was the cover story. And I remember seeing that and going, man, I've never wanted to try a drug so badly. Instantly addictive, makes you crazy. And how well named. I mean, crack is like the greatest name. It's as good a name for a drug as grapes is a name for a fruit. It's just a great, great. I mean, crack and grapes. If you got those two things, you've got two things that are great to say, you know? What are you going to do? I'm going to do some crack and eat some grapes. What could be better than that? And I mean, I thought, and there, you know, the way the media deals with this is they have to be sensational, and automatically it becomes sexy. And when the Stones sing Sister Morphine, and when the Velvet Underground sing Heroin, although the literal message of it is very scary and you should stay away from it, the overall feeling is so sexy. And when they tell you that something's going to whack you completely out of your head and it's completely addictive and you can't do without it, even a person, I don't know how old I was when this hit, probably, you know, late 20s or 30s, when the cover came out and stuff, I was going, you know, I've never tried drugs before, but man, if I do, crack is the drug for me. But then, of course, I went with grapes instead, which is a great name, grapes. But thanks for calling in, man.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad it's helping kids, or at least I'm so glad parents think it's helping kids, because it's my goddamn money, and someone might as well be enjoying it. But, you know, you got to go with the overall studies. We're going to talk more about this. The government is throwing more money into doing television advertisements, trying to stop people from driving drunk, and I just think it's a waste of money. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. We'll be back if the crick don't rise. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM with Michael Gudeau. See you across from me, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. It's PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. We got a few emails. I wanted to read this one because it's, I guess it's complimentary, but it also does sum up how I feel. A woman named Jessica writes and says, I think you're the first person I've heard say they felt bad about the way the Ramses were treated in the media. I keep wanting to hear someone express remorse for that witch hunt. Well, I'm not really expressing remorse because I wasn't in the media then at all. And I don't think I ever said anything. I was going on Politically Incorrect at that time pretty often, and I went on Stern a few times. I don't think the subject ever came up, and if it did, I don't think I said anything wrong. I just feel guilty that we need so badly we won't accept the answer, I don't know. When some tragedy happens, we won't accept, I don't know. And I think that's the problem. When JonBenet Ramsey was killed, I think that the answer was, we don't know who killed her. And that's the thing. And now if it comes out that OJ didn't do it, the whole world explodes. I mean, that would be, I think, the coolest thing that would happen, because it's what I call the Columbo problem, you know. No matter how a guilty person acts on Columbo, you know they're guilty. If they're aggressive about it, if they're passive about it, if they're helpful, if they're arrogant, it always means guilty. I don't know how a really innocent person acts. Let's take a call from, is it Yanni? Is that right?
That's Yanni.
Is that your name, Yanni?
Hey, it's Johnny.
Johnny, okay.
Which was in reference to the government drug program thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think it was last summer, I saw a couple of public buses that had anti-drug campaign posters on the side. Mm-hmm. They had the cast of Archie. And that really annoyed me.
Archie, you mean the comic book from the 50s?
Yeah, like Archie and Jughead and the gang.
is that on TV at all? Or something?
No, I don't think they even print the comic anymore.
So it's like having the Cats and Jammer kids say, "Don't do crack."
I'm a young guy. I mean, I'm in college, but
yeah, sure.
I think me and most of my friends, like, I think I have a lot of friends who don't even know Archie and the gang. And I think people 16 and under have no idea who Archie is.
How were you able to name Archie and Jughead? How were you able to name both of those at your age?
I don't know, actually.
And it's also, how much more can you do?
Veronica.
Betty.
Uh-huh. I know Betty and Veronica.
Yeah, sure. Of course, everybody knows Betty and Veronica.
Now, you do know that in 1968, the summer of love, the Beatles at their peak, the Stones at their peak, Hendrix, you know, just having died, all this stuff happening. You know, the number one song of the year 1968 was "Sugar, Sugar" by the Archies. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Now, can you sing any of "Sugar, Sugar"?
Yeah, it was a wait. Is that sugar? Oh, honey.
Yes, exactly. Perfect job. You are my candy. You are my candy girl, and you got me.
And you got me wanting you.
Wanting. Okay,
wanting
you're wanting.
You, yeah.
I'm loving you. You're wanting me. I guess that works okay. Yes, exactly right. I mean, I think that you have that problem of what do the kids think is cool, and if the people in charge of the advertising think the kids nowadays think the Archies are cool. I don't know what the kids do think is cool, but I don't think it's the Archies. That's a really good point.
Even if it were a contemporary character like I don't know, SpongeBob or something, don't do drugs, that would at least make a little bit more sense, but would still seem like a dumb idea, in my opinion. Especially with something that's, you know, like a cartoon that's all based in fantasy, uh-huh. It's hard to, you know, drive a realistic point in using them.
But what if it weren't a cartoon? I mean, what if 50 Cent? I mean, isn't 50 Cent still popular with, like, 12-year-olds?
I think if it were a real person like that, it would make a lot more sense. I think they're taking a very wrong approach if they were to use 50 Cent, that would actually make sense because people already emulate the things he does.
Yeah, but the problem is, would you believe for a second if any of those guys said don't do drugs, would you believe them for a second?
Oh, no way.
So I think we are painted into a corner. Yeah. But you know, Johnny, it was such a pleasure to sing Sugar, Sugar with you.
My pleasure. Thanks
a lot, Johnny. Was I right about 68 or was it 69?
Someone
will call in. Someone's an expert on Sugar, Sugar. Someone even knows the guy who sang lead on it. I met him once at a monkey show or something. But the guy who sang lead for the Archies, studio singer.
I think that the government could afford Archie and Jughead, and maybe 50 Cent was a little more.
That's it. I mean, what could it cost for Archie and Jughead? Let's take another call. Let's talk to Rob. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, I heard you guys talking about that whole dare program, and in 1992, I was in fifth grade when we started doing it in the suburbs of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about it is, I think for the moment, just like they said, all those people said, you know, my kids come home, they talk. For the moment, for that year, yeah, you know, you come home, you say, Mom, Dad, guess what I learned. But when you get into high school, it's just like, it's a whole different thing, you know. All of a sudden, drugs actually looks kind of fun, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, how they put it out there. So I think what it really comes down to is, I think you were talking about it, how you said your parents never really discussed it and you were never into it. I think some people are really born with addictive personalities, and if it wasn't crack, it'd be peanut butter or jelly or something else.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes they do the speedball of peanut butter and jelly. People even do that at times.
Exactly. But yeah. I know they did do a study a couple of years ago. You know, it costs about $48,000 a year per prisoner, and I think the government thinks that if we can spend a couple hundred thousand now to prevent 10 people from going to prison, that's less money in the long run for them.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. The only thing is that the studies are showing that it does not seem to work. And if you're really talking about saving money by keeping people out of prison, I'm not sure it's the government's job to do social engineering. And if it were the government's job to do social engineering, it appears from the studies that it's not working. So I don't know. But I think that temporary thing I also think there is a chance that the parents are not fully aware of everything their kids are thinking and doing. I'm afraid that may be true. But thanks a lot, Rob. Thank you so much. I got another. We have an email that's the same essential idea. It says, I'm 19, so I went through the D.A.R.E. program at school. I would have to say the D.A.R.E. program is the reason I did drugs, at least as soon as I did. I probably wouldn't have smoked marijuana until I was at least 16 if it weren't for D.A.R.E., but that program had me wanting to smoke, so I started at 12 instead, and I wanted to when I was like 8. They also have no idea how to spend their money. The D.A.R.E. car in my city was tricked out and had a $20,000 sound system to play, he says, another word that I can't say here, lousy music on the playgrounds at school so that the D.A.R.E. officer was cool instead of drugs. Well, if you want to talk anecdotal, if you want to say anecdotally that certain kids told their parents they were helped out, then we'll also counter with the anecdotal story of this kid who said he did marijuana at 12 instead of 16. a guy named Derek has written and said, strangely enough, the Archie, registered trademark, comics are still going strong. They're just not at all relevant.
We have another good email here. This is from Carol. She says, I listen to your show on the computer in Chicago, and the very government DUI ads you're discussing are playing on the break. Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
That was the end of the show.
Are we in trouble, Happy Jack? Are we in trouble? Can we talk about okay, keep going. Jack says keep going. Let's muddle forward. What do you want? Let's talk to Paul.
Sure.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm not bad. How are my two favorite jugglers this week?
Doing very well, thank you. Did the Passing Zone win, by the way?
We don't know till tonight.
We don't know till tonight. Okay.
And I called and voted 10 times.
Okay. I made other people vote, so I did a fine job.
I'm Canadian. My vote doesn't count.
In every sense.
I'm from Florida.
What do you have to say there, Paul?
I'm thinking if you want to keep kids off drugs, you don't have to vilify the drugs or show them to be bad or anything. You just show them how cool they thought their parents were in the 70s when they were doing them.
You mean pictures of their parents getting high?
Yeah, no kid's going to go anywhere near it.
Yeah, exactly.
Their parents wearing bell bottoms? It's over right there.
You just say, I don't know, but isn't 70s going to like, didn't that kind of come in again? I mean, aren't there people wearing bell bottoms? Or weren't there a couple years ago?
Can't defend that.
Bell bottoms, hip huggers. There was a lot of that stuff. Some people that come to our show that look like they are supposedly young and with it look like they're dressed like Jim Morrison. Now, of course, he was dead before the 70s. But that's a good point. That's a good point. If you wanted to say, you know, all we've got to do is publicize what damaged drugs can do to you, I mean, what about Keith Richards? I mean, Keith Richards on his own dime is showing what drugs will do to you over the years. I mean, if there's one person that should not sing Time Is On My Side, it's Keith Richards. I mean, I guess people think, I mean, there's the example. He's been doing a lot of drugs for a lot of years or so, he said, and he really seems to be going strong, and people are happy with him. Let's try, I think, one more call. I'll take Lindsay real quickly. It's always nice to hear a woman's voice on the show. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
Good. I was actually calling because the D.A.R.E. program, mm-hmm. I mean, I went through it myself. I'm 24 years old.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't really keep it going throughout junior high and high school when you're really talking about drugs. I mean, how many 8-year-olds are doing crystal meth? It's the 14-year-olds that really need the guidance and the help. And maybe if they gave the kids more to do and kept the programs going, you'd have less kids on drugs.
You think so? Do you think that school – see, I'm the person – I mean, this is exactly the way I feel about prayer in school. It's the way I feel about it's the way I feel about the drug program in school. It's the way I feel about sex education in school. I don't see why that is the government's job. Of course, I'm a hardcore libertarian, so I don't even think that schools are the government's job. But having accepted that, do you really think it's the government's job to tell kids what to do with drugs?
Well, I mean, a lot of these kids, it's the only place they hear it, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, it's the world we live in, so I think that it's nice to know that at least they're going to hear it somewhere. But it doesn't even have to be mandatory.
Yeah.
It could be like an optional program, you know, and then the parents can force their kids to do something like that. as far as an after-school activity.
But if the kid, if the parents don't care enough to actually do it themselves, they're not going to care enough to push their kids in an after-school activity. And if the kids don't have a strong parental force, they're not going to react well to authority in the schools. And those are a lot of broad generalizations, because generalizations are best when they're broad. But but I just don't buy that it does that much. But, I mean, it's a good point, and I'm going to go into break, so I am going to cut you off just a little bit early, but thanks a lot, Lindsay. It's Penn Jillette. We're talking about doing ads to stop drunk driving. And I guess it's kind of bled over into talking about DARE quite a bit. I will be back after this. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. See with Michael Goodeau. 866-570-PEN 7366, and we are talking, of course, about the program that they're going to spend $11 million on to try to get people to stop sugar. honey, ba-ba-ba-ba, you are my candy girl. Okay, that was Ron Dante who was singing that. Someone wrote in and told us that.
Just now that was Ron Dante?
No, that was us.
Nice cover.
But, you know, I met him backstage at a monkey show. But I want to say that this show is what's good about this show, in my mind, is that we can start out talking about JonBenet Ramsey and end up singing Sugar Sugar. What did you want to say?
I didn't actually realize it was Candy Girl until today. I want to confess, I always thought he was singing You Are My Kin Girl.
You did not.
I did.
You are my kin girl?
Yeah, you're my kin, yeah. I thought he was related to her the whole time.
You sick bastard.
I thought they were.
You sick bastard.
I have bad ears.
You're hearing
no.
Help. Happy Jack's taking out.
Kiss the police.
I just can't believe the loveliness of loving you. I just can't believe it's true, right? That's one of the lines?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the wonderfulness of wonderfulness? But a person has called in here and then said, then written a letter to say, take my call. So I think we have to go with him. Let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're desperate to get on the air. We've answered your dreams. What do you want?
Well, I just wanted to tell my story about my DARE program when I was a kid.
Lay it on us, baby.
Well, I was 14, and we had this officer, Officer Burns, come in and teach us about drugs and not to do them and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to give us a little demonstration about how we searches people on the street for drugs.
Now, why was that part of the demo on why you shouldn't do drugs?
I don't know. I just sit down and do whatever they tell me to.
Of course, of course. So, I'm sorry. That was a stupid question.
But, so he, you know, just randomly picks me out of the class to come up.
Yeah.
And
so you're going to get a real police search like you'd have on the street by an officer in your classroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, of course, I have a pocket full of grass on me.
No, you know that when he calls on you, right?
Oh, when he called, I was just petrified. I was just like, oh, man, I don't know what to do at this point. But I didn't have anywhere to go.
What, because you said, officer, you really shouldn't search me now. I have a bathroom emergency.
I could have did that, but I didn't.
It was more fun what you did. Well, go on with the story. Thank you so much for forcing us to take your call. We would have hated to miss this.
It gets better. I mean,
no, it can't get better, Bill.
Okay,
go
so
ahead.
He brings me up to the class. He grabs me by my arm, twists it by my back, and does all this fancy little police grab thing, whatever, so I can't.
How old are you?
Maneuver to, I'm 14.
Okay. It's kind of creepy already, but go on.
So he reaches into my pockets to search for drugs. he reaches in and he grabs. He can feel that I have a bag full of grass in my pocket. but what he does is he just ignores it. He just pulls his hand out of my pocket and just like, oh, that's how we do things. Whatever, goes back, sit down. So I'm like, what the hell didn't this guy do? You know what I mean? So ever since that day happened, I mean, me and my buddies, we talked to him, whatever, and he just doesn't care, and was pretty much just doing his job, and doesn't give, I don't know, does not care whatsoever. We used to bust his chops all the time to bring us in a bong to demo or whatever. Uh-huh. It was just great.
So, did he ask you to, you know, to borrow some grass from you or anything?
He would never really admit that he either smoked it or not smoked it, but he just definitely didn't care that we did. And it was just great because he was the dear officer and we were just running around smoking bones and just busting his chops about bringing in bongs and whatnot, bringing us into the drug room, let us run around and go crazy.
But man, you must have felt, you're 14 years old, you get searched by a cop with grass in your pocket. At any rate, I mean, you feel invincible and you feel immortal when you're that age. You must have felt like Superman.
Oh, it was great. See him on the streets, he'd be searching other kids, and I just give him a smile and a nod, whatever, no problems with me.
That's great. Thank you so much, Bill, and thanks for forcing us to hear this. It really was worth it. Let's talk to Bob.
Sure. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good. Good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
Hey, the people that put on the anti-drug commercials completely fell off the bandwagon. Within the last year, I was watching, I think, a news magazine,
mm-hmm.
and there was a sheriff in Washington that has a meth problem up there, and he was going over the mug shots of people that were rearrested over a period of 3 to 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And they were showing these, and these were people in their 20s,
uh-huh.
good-looking, average people. By the time that 3 to 5 year period had passed, they were missing teeth, they were all wrinkled up, their hair was turning gray. They looked 50, 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If they put something like that on TV, it would scare the Americans are so vain as it is, it would scare them so bad, I think a lot of them would stay away from it.
Do you think so? Do you think that, I mean, we know what Keith Richards looks like. You know,
yeah.
We do know that. He's everywhere. Every time the Stones go on tour, they show him. And I don't know if it scares people away. I think that there's something so sexy about self-destruction when you're in your teens. You know, the goth girl thing has all that death thing with it. Even the emo stuff has that kind of vibe of depression. There's something very, very sexy about that at that age. I mean, at that age, I love the idea of deterioration and stuff like that. I just don't think that people are that simple that you say, if you do this, this will happen to you, and they automatically learn. I think there's so much peer pressure, such a complicated social situation, that it's very likely that somebody who you don't respect completely telling you not to do drugs may have just the opposite effect. And the DARE people are by definition having to claim that kids respect them. And I just, you know, when I was 14 or 15, I did not respect anyone that was at my school in a position of power. Did you?
No, and that's true.
Yeah, and I also think there's something rather, I don't know, there's something rather sexy about destruction and decay when you're younger. You know, something sexy about danger, and also it's not going to happen to you. I don't know. But you're right, those meth pictures are really, really frightening. But now the stories are coming out that the media just really, really pushed the meth thing much bigger than it really is, much more of a problem than it really is. Not that meth is a good thing, and not that meth isn't miserable, but there may be fewer people doing that than the news would like us to believe. But thanks a lot, Bob. Thank you so much, Bob. Let's talk to Shelby. Why don't you talk to Shelby?
Hi.
Hi, Shelby. Maybe just that I wanted to say the name Shelby. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. This is my weekly attempt at talking to you guys.
Well, Shelby, now that I found how much fun it is to say Shelby, maybe we'll be taking calls from Shelby all the Shelby time.
I think
all
she's
right.
You're the one who starts the letters Sexy Pen, Sexy Mike, right? Is that
say
that,
what?
Shelby? You're the one that sends us the email to Sexy Pen and Sexy Mike? Is that you,
no,
Shelby?
No.
All right, never mind.
Shelby,
I'm hanging up.
Is great. Every Shelby is great. Okay.
But I agree.
You agree that Shelby's a great name?
No, I agree with the Sexy Pen and Sexy Mike.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So what do you want to talk about, Shelby, now that you're on the air?
When I was in high school 10 years ago or whatever, all the people,
Are you being arrested right now?
Huh?
What was that siren? Are you being arrested as we speak?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm outside and I live right next to the highway. So.
Okay.
But I didn't participate in the DARE program.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do drugs, mostly because I believed everything the adults ever told me.
Uh-huh.
But all the people that I knew who did participate in the DARE program were already doing drugs.
And what they do? They went to get tips on it?
No, I don't know. I think they just, you know, their parents or whatever, they were the popular kids that, you know.
That was so true in my school, too. I had hair down my back. I wore eye makeup, and I wore sunglasses all the time, which, of course, those two canceled each other out. But I didn't realize that as a kid. And I looked like every picture they had of a drug addict. And
right.
Sergeant Yorga was the name of the youth officer in the town of Greenfield, Massachusetts at that time, used to search my car in my junior high school. Every single week he would search my car. They would search my locker. They would do random searches on me. And I had never even had so much as a beer, whereas the football jocks, the guys
right.
that everybody was like, you know, patting on the ass and punching on the shoulder and, hey, you
right.
kids are okay. And that Penn kid's a degenerate hippie who's doing all these drugs. They were high all the goddamn time.
Absolutely.
That's all they did. And they were involved in all the kind of goody-goody stuff about how we'll never do drugs, we'll never do drugs. And I was listening to my Frank Zappa and my Alice Cooper at incredible volumes and getting thrown out of class and on detention
right.
all the time. And I was the one that was clean. And the truth of the matter is the school does not want you to be clean. All the teachers, they drink. They all do that stuff. They want you to grow up just like them. And it's the creeps that don't drink. It's the creeps that don't do drugs. Nothing
right.
is more antisocial and outsider than being 17 years old, going to a party, and putting on loud music and listening to it instead of getting drunk or high.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because all the kids that I can think of, they were part of another popular program. I don't know if it's still out there, but SAD, Students Against Drunk Driving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same group of kids, and these were the kids that were going to the Christian youth groups mm-hmm. and all this sort of thing. And, you know, the adults, the teachers and the authorities in the schools, they're clueless.
Well, you know, it's a very good strategy. If you looked like me in high school and you did do drugs, you were going to get busted. If you wanted to do drugs, your strategy is to be part of Christian youth and is to look clean cut and is to be on the football team.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's
but the whole thing is the programs don't work. And it was just nothing but a big joke, if you ask me. I mean,
yeah, it seems that way. But I really enjoyed saying Shelby, Shelby.
Well, good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. Shelby. Aw, Shelby, Shelby. What do we want to do? Didn't you just send me a Gmail we could wrap
half
up
a
with?
Half a dozen. I sent you half a dozen Gmails.
Did you really?
I did.
Any that you want me to wrap up with?
Not
any that
point.
Really bring the whole thing to kind of a stunning stunning conclusion? Let me see. Hello, Penn and Michael. Like you, Penn, I have never taken an illegal drug in my life. It wasn't because Nancy Reagan was telling me to just say no. I'm a bit too old to have gone through a DARE program. And it wasn't because my parents lectured me about drug use. It was because my sixth grade teacher told us about many former students of hers claiming to never want to take drugs and then using them anyway. She said that these students had all been liars. As a very nerdy student, I cared deeply about what my teachers thought about me, and I made a promise to myself that this teacher would never have the opportunity to call me a liar. That's from Amy. And Amy, that teacher's probably dead now, so let's go out and get high. This is Penn Jillette here with Michael Godeau. Tomorrow, we are going to have Drew Carey on the show. My good buddy Drew Carey from The Drew Carey Show and all the improv. He'll be here, and I'll be talking to Drew for the whole hour. And if you want to call in, be ready to call in. Drew Carey tomorrow. Drew Carey.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.